Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, churning through all these Ask Dr. Jesse questions while taking time out of our day to make fun of Joe Biden every chance we could possibly get. All right, let's get back to something I was touching on at the end of last hour. Older guy, veteran. 60. I shouldn't say older anymore. 60. He's heartbroken about the state of the country. Said, was it all for nothing? Was it all for nothing? We sacrificed. We did all these things. Was it all for nothing? Well, I'm not sure how you look at the world. But let me explain how I look at it. And let me explain why I fight so hard for the country. I just feel like I feel an obligation to fight for the country. It's tugged at me for years. I can't shake it. I understand that we all are given a brief period of time here. And you don't get to choose that time, right? That's God's decision. You've given a brief period of time, whatever that is. Maybe it's a year. Maybe it's 80. You know, I don't know. We're given a period of time. This is our time. My sons are going to have a period of time as well. However long that is, I fight so hard because I want them to exist in a world that is not run by wolves, in a relatively civilized country, a normal place. That's why I fight hard for my sons. That's what I want for them and for their kids after them. And I fight like that with the knowledge that somewhere down the line, because this is the way the world works and this is the way the history of the world works, somewhere down the line, someone in the Kelly family line is going to live in an absolute hellhole, violent nightmare. That's in maybe that's 500 years from now. I'm not saying that's tomorrow, but at some point, this whole thing is going to really, really come apart, and it's going to be, look how other people live around the world. A new rebellion, a new raid, a new invasion, a new war, a new famine, a new genocide. That's how people live around the world. That's how. Look, okay, I have my period of time. Think if you were born in Yemen the same time I was born, July 20th, 1981, and you've lived the last 42 years in Yemen. That person's 42 years on this planet, if both of us die tonight, how much ugliness and misery and horror is in that guy's life versus my life. And yeah, obviously there have been hardships and it hasn't all been sunshine and roses, but my goodness, the difference in lives we've been able to live. I've never starved to death. Nothing like that. That, I'm trying to push the horrors of living in a society like that as far away from me as humanly possible, as far down the line as humanly possible. I don't want it to be my kids or grandkids or great-grandkids. I want that those days to be as far away as possible. So I'm answering your question. You ask, you know, was it all worth it? Well, just because things are starting to come apart now, the men and women who built this country from the beginning, if they have provided for you 60 years of living in a relatively civilized country, is that a failure? Just because it's coming apart in the end? They all come apart in the end. There's no such thing as an empire, a nation that lasts forever. That's not how it works. It's never happened. It never will. It never will. So if I don't look at my life because I'm watching America go crazy now. I don't look at my life as, well, I guess it all sucked and it was all for nothing. It's because it's going to crap now. I've been so incredibly blessed with 42 years. I'm going to try to get 42 more before I check out. Hopefully they're good ones. It's not all for nothing. It was not all a waste. If you're sitting there lamenting what has happened to the country you love, that's fine. I do too. Like, I go through the same thing. I'm not telling you to put a smile on your face about it. But don't make the mistake of thinking it wasn't worth it. If you have provided a life for your children, for your family, for your community, for yourself, that is civilized, that's better than most people who walk the planet ever get. You want to feel better about your situation? Here's a little something you can look up right now. Do an internet search for Brazil favela. 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 I know they sound wonderful. It's a really cool sounding word. Go look at how people live their lives. You know what? I'll do it right now with you. As long as you're not driving, let's do it together. Brazil favela. There it is. First thing that comes up, and just click on the images. Look at how other people will live every minute of their lives, stacked on top of each other in tin cans, drugs, violence, disease. That's how people will live their lives. You won't live your life that way. That is a success, not a failure. A success. All right? All right. Jesse, I know you don't want to offend your people that are going to vote for RFK Jr., but they are absolute idiots. And they will seal Biden's win over Trump. We have to deal in reality, and that is no independent is going to win the general. A vote for RFK is a vote for Biden, and everyone knows it. First of all, when have I ever worried about offending people? I tell you flat out who I'm voting for, who I like, who I don't like. I tell you why. I'm not sympathetic to RFK voters because I'm worried about offending them. I'm sympathetic to RFK voters because big pharma in this country, Michael, did you get that? Chris, Michael, did you guys get that Megyn Kelly, Dr. Drew interview? If you didn't, get it now because I want to play it. I want to play it, and I want to play it for a specific reason. So as soon as you get it, let me know. RFK Jr. Is currently, if you're assuming Joe Biden's going to be the nominee, and you're assuming Trump is going to be the nominee, I personally will be voting for Trump, obviously. But if those are the nominees, RFK Jr. is the only candidate in the race speaking out against the poison they forced you to inject in your body and your kids. I want you to listen to this. This is Megyn Kelly interviewing Dr. Drew. He's telling a story about a guy. Now, I want you to listen to this. You think these RFK voters are crazy and stupid and crazy. Listen to this guy's story and you tell me, is this guy crazy if he walks in that voting booth and he sees Biden and he sees Trump and he sees RFK and he votes for RFK?
It's more common than we thought. People are like, well, it's mild. It's no big deal. It's self-limited, blah, blah. Look, in my world, throughout my entire career, 40-year career, myocarditis is a medical emergency. It's a dire problem. A publication just came out 5 days ago in Circulation, a major cardiology journal. An excellent study, and it showed, it took my breath away. I didn't know why it wasn't headline news. It's a large study, and it showed that about approximately half of the young males that got myocarditis had permanent heart damage.
Yep.
Permanent. That means that we don't know what percentage are going to be disabled by this as they get older, are going to develop heart failure, or going to need cardiac transplants, some of them.
Oh my God.
It's breathtaking, this study, and why it wasn't a big headline. I've sort of sent it around a little bit because I don't understand why people aren't reacting to it. So in a 27-year-old male, the illness is a nothing. So the risk is, so the vaccine is all risk.
Right.
Why the push? Why are we pushing? And I think, put your legal head on for a second, that universities are going to be in big trouble for having mandated young people to get that vaccine. Because people are going to get sick, and they're going to have long-term consequences, and they should sue those schools for having forced
them. That's good enough. He goes on. I'll just tell you right now, we're already seeing lawsuits. Fathers, mothers lost their sons, their daughters. They pushed something. They rushed it through, untested, and then they told you, you were fired if you didn't take it. Your son, your daughter couldn't go to school anymore. Couldn't participate in sports anymore if you didn't take it. They demanded you take it. And to this day, if the race lays out the way I said it, both parties' nominee, actually, both parties, the nominees of both parties will be people who this day tell you how wonderful it is. Now, if I'm a father and I gave that to my child and I lost him, you're telling me I'm crazy if I go vote for RFK? The level of bitterness people have out there for how this country became shills for big pharma during COVID, it's deep and it's completely understandable. I'm not trying to play kid. I'm not trying to treat RFK voters with kid gloves. I get it. I won't be voting for RFK ever. If Trump's the nominee, I'm voting for Donald Trump. But man, I understand. And I understand what you're saying too. A vote for RFK is a vote for Biden. I'm not arguing that point. I get that. But man, I get it. That's all I'm saying. You know what else I get? I get meat delivered to my house. I don't have to run down to the grocery store for a T-bone. I have better meat than I can find in my grocery store delivered to my front door. So if I can have better meat that's all American sourced from a company that shares my values delivered to my home, and that same company, Good Ranchers, gives me 2 years worth of free ground beef with it, why would I do anything else? Go to goodranchers.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $30 off. Goodranchers.com, promo code Jesse. What you do is you subscribe to a box, whatever your family's meat needs are. I don't know what you eat, more seafood, more chicken, more beef, whatever it is. You go pick the box that works for your family. Promo code Jesse gets you $30 off, and you get my meat delivered to your front door. Goodranchers.com. Promo code Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. These people, man. White House press secretary, former White House press secretary, blasts Biden for, quote, blunders on the Israel trip. What blunders? Why do we do this? We talk about these people, these communists who run the country, and we always try to give them some excuse for some reason. You just stumbled. You mumbled. It's a mistake. It's a whoopsie. Joe Biden, and more specifically, the commies around him, Susan Rice, Victoria Nunes, you know, the real America-hating commies around him, they hate America. That's why they have such a kinship with countries like Iran. That's why they love Hamas. It's not complicated. In their minds, in the minds of America's elite, Iran and them, they share a common enemy. You, America. They're not blunders. They don't keep stumbling in. It's like when the Republicans do this when it comes to the border. Oh man, Joe Biden has really blown it at the border. Blown it? He's done exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to open it up on purpose so America gets flooded with more illegals, destroying our culture, destroying our economic system, collapsing the country, bringing it to its knees so him and his commie revolutionary buddies can finish taking over everything. It's not a whoopsie. It's not like they don't know what's going to happen when they announce to the world that everyone should come here and no one's going to be arrested and we won't even deport you. They know exactly what's going to happen. That's why they say it. I'm so sick of the GOP using languages that provide built-in excuses for the evils of the communists in this country. Blunders. I guarantee these people don't think they blundered. Oh, and for those asking, because here, the next asked Dr. Jesse questions. Dr. Jesse, I don't understand. Can you explain to me why Egypt won't take in the refugees from Palestine? All right, let me explain. Okay, first, let me explain this. The king of Jordan. Jordan borders Israel, all right? You have all these countries that border Israel. Jordan is one of the countries that borders Israel. Now, not always, but now, they have a pretty good relationship now, Israel and Jordan. Now, this area is complicated, and I'm not the world's expert on it, but I will explain something. You know that big golden dome you've seen in Jerusalem? That's Muslim. That's not Jewish. That's not Christian. That's Muslim. That's a mosque. It's a holy place for Muslims. You know who is technically the keeper of that, the maintainer of that? The king of Jordan. The king of Jordan kind of, and this is, believe me, an oversimplification, kind of reigns supreme over the Muslims in the area. He does. Remember, 25% of Israel is Muslim. So Jordan, Israel, king of Jordan, they're always working together. Now, and I'm going to explain your Hamas question in a moment. The king of Jordan famously has come out and he said
this. The issues of refugees coming to Jordan, and I think I can quite strongly speak on behalf not only of Jordan as a nation, but of our friends in Egypt, that is a red line. Because I think that is the plan by certain of the usual suspects to try and create de facto issues on the ground. No refugees in Jordan, no refugees in Egypt.
Now, that kind of has taken people aback. People who try to oversimplify things, they look, they see Muslims. In Palestine, they're Muslim. Egypt is Muslim. King of Jordan's Muslim. Why won't these Muslim countries take in the Muslims of Hamas? But this is, again, an oversimplification that I'm going to try to explain. I'm going to try to explain, and not in a delicate way at all, just in a very, very simple way. Hamas. You see, Hamas and Hezbollah, we think of them as similar or the same. After all, they're all just foreign terrorist groups. That's not true. I'll explain. You know what? This is a text I got from my buddy the other day. I can't tell you his name, but this is exactly what he sent me. He said, Jesse, people fail to understand the differences in groups like Hezbollah and Hamas. Hezbollah doesn't have 20,000 rockets like Hamas. They have 150,000, and some are precision guided. Hamas is not like Hezbollah. They're not even like ISIS. Hamas, they're rabid dogs. If you want to think about Hezbollah, it's not as if Hezbollah is less evil, but I want you to think of Hezbollah like an organized, well-funded terrorist group. Hamas comes from the horror and poverty of Palestine. They have been uniquely bred for just violence. It's what they believe in. They bite everybody. What do I mean by that? Am I beating around the bush? These are not civilized people. It's not a civilized society. They are, well, I'll put it to you this way. You know those history stories we've told before about the Mongols, when the Mongols were first starting their conquests, and they had all kinds of relationships with the Chinese. And China, very advanced, very civilized society, very clean, bathing, things like that. The Mongols show up, and they're just barbarians. They've come from a completely different culture. The Mongols would take the guts out of a dead animal and not even squeeze all the poison out of the guts and just sit and eat them raw. And the Chinese civilized societies would look at this, they'd look on in horror as, who are these barbarians? Like from a completely different culture. That's how even other Muslim countries, even other terrorist groups, that's how they look at Hamas. They are the stupid, uncultured, rabid dog of the Middle East. Dude, see, what, Chris, was that, what? Was that not... It was very delicate. Well, what am I supposed to say? You know, I'll finish elaborating on these thoughts in a moment. You, in the meantime, go out and get some natural herbal supplements in your body. You know why? You know why I love Chuck? Because I hate Big Pharma. We just talked about the evils of Big Pharma. I despise them now. I understand some medications are necessary and life-saving. I'm not against medications. But this country, we've become a national pill mill. The numbers in this country are shocking. I am a believer in natural herbal supplements. I personally take a male vitality stack from Chalk. My goodness, the difference in how you feel in just a few months is amazing. But I want you to go look at all of them. Go look at what they have there. You will see something immediately that will improve your life. Go to Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That gets you 35% off a subscription for the life of the subscription. But get a subscription so you don't pay full price. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're talking a little bit about your capabilities, how people don't understand the differences. And it's understandable because it's confusing between different jihadi terrorist groups that kind of lump them all in the same. And we're talking about, well, why won't Egypt take in Hamas? Why won't Jordan take in Hamas? I don't know if you know this, but producer Michael is of Lebanese descent. His family's Lebanese. Michael said during the break, ask Lebanon why you don't take in any Palestinians. If you take in Palestinians, nations have in the past, it has always, 100% of the time, increased terror attacks in that country. Muslim, Christian, Jewish, it doesn't matter. You bring them in, problems come with them. We as Americans, we have so lost the plot when it comes to protecting our country, valuing our sovereignty, keeping out people we don't want to keep out, that when we see countries like Egypt and Jordan say, nope, I don't want any of those people here. Even half the people on the right will recoil in horror and say, oh my gosh, that sounds so racist and all these other things. That's how nations that love themselves, that's how they operate. And remember, I have something I need to tell you. If you consider yourself an immigration squish, maybe you use words like that. I'm a kind of a squish. I'm a bit of a softy. I have some bad news for you. I really do. Remember, you can tell how much you really love something by how much you want to restrict access to it. And if you're an immigration squish, maybe you need to have a hard look about or at the patriotism that goes through your body.
No, Jesse, that's not fair. I love my country.
Okay. Someone knocks on your door tonight. 9 o'clock at night. Family's inside, watching TV. You open up the door. Gangster-looking dude sitting there. Teardrop tattoo on his face. The works. He looks like he's ready to kill someone. Says he's hungry. Wants to come in. Are you inviting him in to come sit down, eat some chips with you and the kids? You're not? No, of course you're not. You know why you're not? Because you love your kids. You love your home. You restrict access to your home. And you know what? You majorly restrict access to your home. It's not even a little bit. You discriminate big time based on how someone looks. Can you imagine the list of things you have to check off to get access to your home? It's strict, isn't it? And you know why it's strict? Because you love it and you love the people in it. So if you say that about your home, and you do, because that's universal, why don't you say that about your country? It's not racist to look at anywhere, and say, we don't want any more of those people here, period. I don't want that culture here. I don't want to risk bringing it here. I don't have any obligation to bring them in. That's what someone who loves their country, that's how they talk. But because the right has been so infected with, I don't know, this disease of niceness, and they think that's somehow Christian or good, the right believes that we have to flood the country with animals from all over the planet to make ourselves better people or something like that. Well, sorry, but that means you don't love the country. It's just that simple. You can tell how much you love something by how much you want to restrict access to it. Period. End of story. Dear G.I. Joe, historical oracle, I heard Russia and China are supporting Hamas against Israel. In addition, I heard BLM in Chicago was supporting Hamas with posters. Is it possible BLM is actually sending money to Hamas? Well, no. They're not sending money to Hamas. More likely, China is sending money to BLM. Remember, the global communist network is global. They spread their money around. There are these global organizations. Organizations like the
AI.
I'm sorry, I didn't finish my thought. Like the WEF.
AI can create new ideas, can even write a new Bible. We, you know, throughout history, religions dreamt about having a book written by a superhuman intelligence, by a non-human entity. Every religion claims our book, all the other books of the other religions, humans wrote them. But our book, no. It came from some superhuman intelligence. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. That just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That could be a reality in a few years.
That's Dr. Yuval Noah, big cheese at the WEF. The WEF and organizations like it, they spread their money everywhere globally. The amount of Soviet money that was in this country early on when the Soviet Union was going. The Soviet Union, they took over the civil rights movement in the early 70s, right? Did you know that? Again, it's the religion of the malcontent. They saw a civil rights movement. They saw a way to expose this country, to increase the size of the cracks. And so they started pouring money into it. Now that they're gone, the Chinese do the same thing. It's a global network. Why do you think Black Lives Matter is so interested in Israel all of a sudden? Here's their founder, Patrice Cullors.
If we don't step up boldly and courageously to end the imperialist project that's called Israel, we're doomed.
Why in the world would an American, quote, civil rights leader like the Black Lives Matter chick, why would she be so invested in a conflict thousands of miles away? All one group, one goal, oftentimes with the same financing sources. Jesse, I oftentimes have regrets for never serving in the military. Since I was a kid, I wanted to be a Marine. My parents hated the idea, and then 9/11, so on and so forth. I'm 37 now, and every day I wonder what would have been if I did join. but often have regrets and some guilt since I was a healthy, athletic, able body with gun shooting experience since I was 10. Am I wrong to have guilt? Yes. This is something I see, especially in men. I've not really seen it in women, but I see it in men all the time. When I talk to somebody who finds out I was in the Marines and they haven't served, almost always they will say something to the effect of, man, I wish I would have, or dang it, I didn't join, or man, my knee was bothering me, so I did. Like, they'll feel this obligation to offer some sort of an excuse up why they didn't serve in the military. And I think that is flatly absurd. There are a million and one ways to serve your country. It doesn't make you any less of a man or a patriot or a public servant that you didn't put on a uniform of the Marines, or if you're a lesser person, the Army or the Navy or something like that. It doesn't make you a lesser person in any way. You don't have to feel guilty, and you don't have to explain yourself to anyone at all. Everybody has a different lot in life. Everyone has a different path in life. We can't all have the same path. We can't all play the Frito Bandito.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Have you practiced with your weapon, by the way? We're talking a lot about terror, violence, and things like that. And obviously, those are things that are understandably concerning. But what have you done to prepare? If the day comes and you have to pull that weapon out that you carry, can you hit what you're aiming at? And no, I'm not talking about you went to the range once and put 10 rounds through it and they kind of hit the target what you wanted. When you're scared, when your adrenaline's pumping, you ain't aiming well unless you've trained, unless it's just natural so you don't have to think about it. But money doesn't grow on trees for ammo and range fees. That's why Mantis X is here. Mantis X allows you to practice in the comfort of your home without firing a shot. So this winter when the snows begin to fall, unless you live here in Texas, this winter when the snows begin to fall and it's freezing out, nah, I don't want to drive to the range, the roads are slick. You don't have to leave. You can get good with your weapon in front of the fireplace. Mantis X is how you will do it. It's how the Marines train. It's how the Special Forces train. They use Mantis X. It's what the professionals use. Train like you mean it. MantisX.com, all right? MantisX.com. We will be back. One more round of emails, and it's weekend time. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can still email me your love, your hate, and your death threats. Email those in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, something else, because we're closing in on the weekend here. We're going to get to emails I didn't get to and stuff like that in a minute. Remember, we have two jobs this weekend. Two jobs and only two. Take that phone. All that ugly news. All that social media. Bombs and bullets and debt and Biden and all the crappy things on there. Send it away for a couple days. Take that phone. Put it in the drawer. And spend time with your family and your community. Remember, there's more to life than all this crappy political stuff all the time. Set it down for the weekend. That's one. And two, save a life. Now, that may sound like you're asking a lot, right? I'm not asking you to go wait around on the highway in case somebody runs out into traffic. I'm just asking you to send $28 to Preborn. Pretty good way to start your weekend, wouldn't you say? After all, we're going to enjoy our weekends. But there's a scared young woman right now as we speak. She's trying to have an abortion. She's seeking one out. Preborn is going to hopefully find her first and offer her a free ultrasound, free to her. But it costs $28. $28 lets her hear that heartbeat. If she hears it, she's going to choose life. You're the one who can make that happen. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give whatever you can. All right? Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. All right. Let's do this. As many as we can. I'm ready. You ready? Let's roll.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jay Steele, let's get to the serious questions. French fries, tater tots, or hash browns? Tater tots. Unless the hash browns are crispy, which they never are. Nobody crisps up the hash browns enough. Do you eat your chili with grilled cheese or a cinnamon roll? I wouldn't eat it with a cinnamon roll like a freak, although that actually sounds delicious. But a grilled cheese and chili, that's as good as it gets. Steak. Do you dip it in a sauce like a Heinz 57 or an A1? No, I don't usually sauce my steak, but I'm not against saucing the steak. I believe that condiments, half of the point of eating food is just to get more condiments in your mouth. That's it. Look, you eat the food to get the condiments in your mouth. Hey, Jesse, can you explain why Social Security and Medicare are entitlements? People pay into those programs their entire lives. I'll probably never use it since I can't afford to retire, but my mom and dad relied heavily on it before they died. So is it wrong to take money after you paid into the system your working life? My goodness, no, it's not wrong. They are entitlements simply because, by definition, that's what they are. But when you call them that, people who are on Social Security, maybe you're on it right now, or use Medicare or something like that, they automatically think you're lumping them in with a welfare queen or something like that. That's not true at all. Because it's a government program, it's an entitlement. That doesn't mean you're some loser. And my goodness, you paid into it your whole life. You better use it. My parents use it. You better daggone use it. You know, at least someone needs to use it. I'm never going to see a dime of that money. Soft Kelly. That's not nice. Right. Soft Kelly. You often talk about we have a people problem, not a politician problem, and I agree with you 100%. How do we change that? Yes, we can work legal and local to win school board races and elect anti-communists and try to convince Normie Norm to see the light, but what if the overwhelming majority of the population doesn't want that? And what if, no matter how hard you try, you just can't convince them to quit voting Dem and elect local, state, and federal reps? Okay. What if they don't want that? What if the population doesn't want that? Well, I don't know if this is going to make you feel better or worse, but it is true. If the population doesn't want freedom, if they don't want to go back to being a good country, if they don't want to fix this cultural filth that's out there, then it's already over anyway. Remember, as you just said, as I talk about all the time, we get mad at all these politicians, from Joe Biden on down. But we don't have a politician problem. We have a people problem. It is the people of the United States of America as a whole, not you. It is the people who have lost their way, and they're rotted. That's why they go keep voting for these people. That's why Americans en masse wanted you fired or ostracized for not wearing a mask. We have a people problem. It is the people who are the problem. If you could snap your fingers right now and remove Joe Biden and every Democrat from office and every loser GOP or you don't like it, if you could remove everyone out of the federal government, the bureaucracy, everything, you have total control and you can eliminate whatever you want and then you could put whoever you wanted in charge of all these things, right? You have someone in mind or maybe even clone yourself and you're in charge of everything. It still wouldn't do any good if the people are rotted. You can change every politician. If the population still believes that a teenage girl should chop her breasts off, then there ain't nothing worth saving anyway. That's one. Two, what if they don't want that? People want what they're told. People are conditioned to want what they want and dislike what they dislike. That is a culture thing. It's not a miracle that we have a society now full of people who hate the country. That was done on purpose. They were taught that. If I take, you can pick any child from any community And if, let's say something terrible happened, the kid's parents died right away, it was a newborn baby, and you took that child into your home right now and raised that child, by the time it's an adult, would be a patriotic, America-loving child or human being with excellent standards and a set of values that you would recognize. And if you took my kids when they were babies and you handed them off to some vile commie scum to raise, if you handed them off to Dr. Yuval Noah of the WEF to raise, my kids would be vile communist scum when they got older. It is how we are raising these people. It's not what they want or don't want. We have a group, we have a bunch of people in this country who don't have any appreciation for freedom at all, because that's how they were raised. Jesse Leather, I hate you guys. I'm a fan, but an atheist. I'm not sure you would institute a government amenable to liberty based on your recent comments about imprisoning people. Power corrupts even righteous ideologues like yourself. Have you considered becoming an erudite constitutional scholar? Chris, what's that word mean? Michael, you went to college. E-R-U-D-I-T-E. Erudite. Have you considered becoming an erudite constitutional scholar like me so you can understand more thoroughly the founding legal precepts? You know what? These are too many big words. I'm already not joining you. What? Showing great knowledge and learned? That's what that means? That's already who I am. What, Chris? I am. Do you know anybody who knows more about menus? Do you know anybody? How many menu whisperers do you know? Not very many, because there's only one, and that's me. I'd say I'm pretty erudite, or whatever that word is. All right, now put your phone down and go enjoy your weekend. We will do it again Monday. That's all.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.